Well, good morning. The title of this teaching is Passover and Communion, a Wonderful Memorial. And this is from the material from Jesus Christ, Our Passover, from Dr. Wehrwell. And he exhorted us to work this material. And he said the best way to do it is to teach it. And, you know, I wasn't going to share that. I was going to share this, and I wasn't going to share, and God said, share it. So here I am sharing it. I was looking for a handout, and it was from Sound Out 84, Harmony of the Gospels. I was looking for the chronology of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I came across, of course, this teaching by Dr. Wehrwell, and I had to look at it, the plan of redemption. And just a couple things that really impressed me before I go on, and I thought, might bless you too. He said, you got to master the foundational class. Take that syllabus and work it. And he said, you've got to master Jesus Christ, our Passover. He said, every footnote, every scripture. And I was like, okay. He said, and then once you master that, you got to master Jesus Christ, our promised seed. And, you know, I know Ryan and I, we were so blessed, I know, last year. We did teach one day on Jesus Christ, our promised seed, and then the next 4 days were on Jesus Christ, our Passover. But it was very phenomenal going through that material. And just another statement that he made here that really impressed me was, the two greatest life suckers for born-again Christians are, one, ignorance of our sonship rights, two, condemnation for our past failures, fear, or devilish doubts. And I just love the manifestations, you know. We can walk with confidence as we know about the plan of redemption, which is basically, he says, our redemption is on absolute legal grounds. And towards the closing, I just wanted to share this one because I thought this was great. He said, the two pieces of work, Jesus Christ, our Passover, Jesus Christ, our promised seed, will help you understand your legal sonship rights. The only way I know to get out of our condemnation is quit condemning yourself. Change your mind. Go by what the word says. Your legal sonship rights to overcome condemnation, and it includes the plan of redemption. And that really hit me because I was like, yes, if you know and believe on the plan of redemption, God's plan of redemption, you can stand against the adversary and you can walk without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. So I just wanted to share those. Hope that blessed you like me. So, but why did God give the Passover? Well, God instituted the Passover for physical health, healing, and atonement for his people, and that they would remember God's deliverance and care. Furthermore, the Passover, and this is important, it pointed to the promised Redeemer, the Christ, the Messiah. It foreshadowed the ultimate sacrifice and atonement he would make for all mankind. So we know this material, we should, or if you don't, you're going to learn. From the time of Genesis 3:15 onward, this was God's plan for redeeming mankind from the tragic results of Adam's fall. And you know, the two greatest losses was loss of spirit and the shattered relationship that God had between man and God. We needed rescued. We needed saved. Therefore, mankind was left with the hope of the coming Redeemer who would bring redemption and salvation. And God gave it in Genesis 3:15. The Passover was originally given to Moses by revelation from God during the times of the plagues in Egypt, before they left Egypt. They were in the land of bondage, much like we were, okay? Before they left, that was the patriarchal administration before the giving of the law to Moses, but it also carried over into the law administration with some changes and modification. But let's turn to Exodus. Exodus 12 covers a lot on the Passover. And Exodus 12, Genesis, Exodus 12. Verse 1, we read, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So the first month, it actually was called with a V, Aviv. It was the spring of the year. It would match our March or April. So this is a great time of the year to review this material. And the first month of Aviv was called this by the Hebrews until they were captured, and the kingdom of Judah was taken captive into the land of Babylon, and then it began to be called Nisan. So it's talking the same time period. Verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be, so these are important points. It's the 10th day of the month. You're choosing the lamb, important to note. The lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and separate it, or from the goats. And you shall keep it up till the 14th day, chosen on the 10th, kept until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, or in the evening, it's the word Ben Ha'arhiyam, which is between the evenings. And according to, you know, to scholarly evidence, biblical scholarly evidence, I should say, too, the Talmud as well, it refers to the time period of approximately 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. And the historian Josephus confirms this. He notes that the practice in the first century A.D. was to begin slaughtering the lamb at the ninth hour, which is our 3 p.m. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood. So they take of the blood, they strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And this shall ye eat it. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, so important to note, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. See, it was a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast for the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So in that final 10th plague, in Egypt, before they left, the angel of death passed through the entire land of Egypt and killed the firstborn of both human and animal of every household. Now, for the Hebrews to have protection from the angel of death, God told Moses, tell the children of Israel to sprinkle the blood of a sacrificed lamb on the two side posts of the house and the lintel over the doorway. The destroyer, when he saw the blood, would pass over. And that's why it's called the Passover and the Passover lamb. So two important elements to see on the Passover lamb. The first is the flesh, and the second is the blood. The shedding of blood was the atonement, the covering of their sins. And God told them to eat the flesh, which was for their physical health. And verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. Another point. First day, holy convocation. And then the seventh day, holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I, God, brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. They were to do it every year. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, between this afternoon, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month at even. So 15th to the 21st of Nisan. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Now, according to Bishop Pillai, the leaven in the lands and times of the Bible was a flavoring. It didn't make it rise, which was a pleasant flavor to their bread. And their bread was flat, and they had flat bread. So when they put in the leaven, it just gave a nice, pleasant flavoring, not to rise. Verse 21, then Moses obeyed God, and then he called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out at that door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. See, they were to remember God's deliverance, and they were to teach their children too. And let's look at Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, there was a modification. Again, still, this is before they went into the land of promise. Deuteronomy 16, getting prepared to go into the land of promise. It's beautiful to think that how God prepared them to go in with this, the Passover. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Aviv, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Aviv, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, of the flock and the herd, and the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. And that's Jerusalem, which is important to note. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Look at that. They were to remember God's deliverance and his care all the days of their life. These scriptures speak of remembrance, and that they would remember what God did for them, how he delivered them, and he gave to them, and it was given on the occasion of the first Passover, and it was to be remembered and celebrated in the promised land. So the Passover lamb, we'll read some highlights. It was sacrificed on the 14th of Nisan between the evenings, right? So we read that, the afternoon, the declining of the sun. Some highlights. The Passover lamb was to be a lamb of the flock. It was selected on the 10th, we saw that, of the first month called Aviv or Nisan. They were to keep the Passover lamb separate from the other sheep and care for it until the 14th of Nisan. During that time was a period of preparation for the Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread began on the 15th of Nisan, which would have been after that declining of the sun. Later in the afternoon, it began 15th. The 14th day was the preparation when the lamb was to be killed between the evenings, approximately 2:30 or 3:30 in the afternoon. Next, after killing the lamb, it was to be prepared for eating. None of the bones, no bones of the Passover lamb were to be broken, and all was to be eaten that day. Anything left over was not to remain until the morning. God gave the Passover for their physical health, healing, and forgiveness of sins, and for remembrance of his deliverance and care. The Passover pointed to the Christ for the ultimate sacrifice that he would make, the atonement for all mankind. We read in Deuteronomy of modifications added by God before the children of Israel went into the promised land. and it was to take place in the city where God chose to place his name, Jerusalem. Now I'll read this scripture for you. You can look it up, but it's written to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." God says, written to us, our administration of the mystery, the age of grace, that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So let's look at the gospel records about Jesus Christ's crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. To be our Passover, he would have to accomplish and fulfill what we just read in these records. So let's go to the gospels. Matthew chapter 12. Because God is very detailed and very complete. So he would need to complete and fulfill this as our Passover lamb, what we just read in 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Matthew 12, verse 40. A stipulation here. Okay? "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, it's heart of the earth, burial, okay? It's burial. All right. Matthew 27, chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 46. And it says, "And about the ninth hour..." The ninth hour, again, is 3 o'clock p.m. "Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' translated, 'My God, for this I was spared.'" And in verse 50, it says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost," meaning he died. He died at approximately 3 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. Just read it, ninth hour. He died. The exact timing, I just think this is so awesome. It's the exact timing of the Passover lamb, the exact timing that the Judeans were making their Passover sacrifice. God's timing is magnificent. John, Gospel of John, these are complementary records, the Gospels. John 19. John 19, verse 31, we read, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation," and we know that would be that 14th of Nisan, "that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day," for that Sabbath day was a high day. Now, remember that. That Sabbath was a high day. "They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." So we know the Hebrew Sabbath, or I'm going to tell you, the Hebrew Sabbath was Saturday. It was Saturday. So one day before, people thought, oh, okay, it was Friday. No. Remember, we read that in Exodus and other records. This Sabbath was a holy convocation, a high day. It could be any day of the week. We read it in Exodus. The 15th of Nisan was a day of holy convocation, a high day, a special Sabbath, because it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. So the preparation was the 14th of Nisan, which was the day before the special Sabbath, which could be any day. Okay? And it began at sunset. So Jesus Christ, we know, was crucified and died on the 14th of Nisan, the day of preparation, at approximately 3 in the afternoon. Okay? Verse 38 of John 19. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus." And look, verse 41. "Now in the place where he was crucified, There was a garden. I know I love that song, In the Garden. I come to the garden. It just makes me think his walk to the garden and this part too. It's beautiful though, but that he picked this place. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There lay they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. This is the 14th of Nisan. So we see when Jesus Christ was, we see he was crucified at 3 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon, ninth hour, died and buried, heart of the earth, as we read. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, verse 50 of Luke 23. And it says, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, same man, Joseph of Arimathea, a counselor, and he was a good man and just, a beautiful man. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. It's kind of neat because on Bishop Pillai, on his Orientalism tapes, he said that no one would get the body from Pilate unless they were of high power and prestige. I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. He begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped, just how God worked that out. It's just beautiful. Woo! And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and buried on the 14th of Nisan. Now, what day was this? Well, let's look at the scriptures. Mark 16, Gospel of Mark 16. So let's see what day this is. We know he died, he's buried, 14th of Nisan. Okay, Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, their first day of the week was Sunday. So very early, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? They were talking like, who's going to take that stone away? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man, I love this, sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. So Jesus Christ was already resurrected by Sunday morning. Early, he was to be buried 3 full days, 3 full nights, 24 hours, 24 hours, 24 hours. Okay? In the heart of the earth, meaning buried. Okay? He would be buried for 3 days and 3 nights. Therefore, counting backwards, we know that he already would have got up around 3 o'clock p.m. afternoon. So counting backwards, it's Wednesday, the 14th of Nisan. And he'd been risen from the dead on Saturday, the 17th of Nisan, between 3 p.m. and sunset. So now, did Jesus Christ accomplish and fulfill the requirements to be the Passover lamb, as we read in the records of Exodus, Deuteronomy, and the statement in 1 Corinthians? Okay, let's look. So the Passover lamb was to be a lamb of the flock, we read. John the Baptist declared of him, declared of Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. In Matthew 1:20, the angel said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That qualifies the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God. He was a lamb of the flock. The Passover lamb was selected on the 10th. We saw that. They were to be selected on the 10th of the first month called Aviv or Nisan. Jesus Christ was selected on the 10th of Nisan. Let's look at it. Matthew 21. He was selected as the lamb on his second entry into Jerusalem. Matthew 21, In verse 8, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, 'Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Now, I just got to share this with you because I used to think of it more like a praise and a glory, like hallelujah. You know, we were taught that when I was little, you know, lay down the straw. It isn't. In the Hebrew, that word is Hosanna means save now, I beseech thee, or save now, please. It's the Hebrew phrase Hoshiana. It combines the verb yasha, to save or deliver, with the particle na, please, or I entreat thee, I beseech thee. It's a plead. And you can find that phrase in Psalm 118, verse 25. It says there, save now, I beseech thee. So this wasn't a cry of praise and glory such as hallelujah. Rather, the word Hosanna was a cry for salvation, acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. I thought that was beautiful. And verse 10, "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.'" With this, Jesus Christ's second entry into Jerusalem, as it says in verse 10, "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" So the onlooking throngs of people that day in Jerusalem were witnessing God's selection of Jesus as the complete and final Passover lamb. And this is the 10th day of Nisan. So he was there. He fulfilled that. He was chosen, 10th day of Nisan. 14th day was the preparation when the Passover lamb was to be killed between the evenings, 2:30 or 3:30 in the afternoon. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the 14th of Nisan. He died. We saw that in Matthew 27, 46, and 50. He died at 3 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. Jesus Christ instituted Holy Communion at the Last Supper. The Passover meal, we know it's been replaced with Holy Communion, which is a memorial of his death and perfect sacrifice. Just like the Passover, Holy Communion is for physical health, healing, and forgiveness of sins. The Passover lamb was to be killed at the place where God would choose to place his name, Jerusalem. Jesus Christ was crucified and killed on Golgotha at Calvary, right outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem. None of the bones of the Passover lamb were to be broken. None of the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ were broken. In dying on the 14th of Nisan, Jesus Christ completely fulfilled the law as the Passover lamb. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. He is the complete and final Passover lamb. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, in verse 11, it says, "But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." God says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" God says, look, if the blood of bulls and goats could sanctify and purify, how much more shall the blood of Christ? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of divine conception. There's no comparison, okay? That's it, end of story. His shedding of his blood, his single sacrifice atoned for mankind. The blood, we know, was for atonement, and the Old Testament atonement was shedding of blood. I'll read, you can look sometime, you can look that privately. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So God says it's the blood on the altar, which is for atonement. And we know blood on altar refers to sacrifice. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. And in verse 1, we read, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come," you see, it pointed to the Christ and what he would accomplish. God had this as a pattern of things to come. "And not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, would have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year." They had to do it every year. "But for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." The blood of bulls and goats could not atone for mankind, take away their sins. Verse 10. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Jesus Christ was a complete and final Passover lamb. And according to God's word, he does not need to be offered more than once. The shedding of his blood and single sacrifice atoned for mankind. Verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," God says, look, "this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever," and there's where he's at now. "He sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So by one offer, God provided the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2, let's look at Hebrews 2, and 2 verse 9. Hebrews 2, I'm hurrying along. In verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Look at that. We are all one. We are human. He was human. He's the Son of God, born of divine conception, my human, and not ashamed to call us brethren. Let's go down. I'm going to read on. "So, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death," this is great, "he might destroy him that has the power of death." And it tells us right here, who has the power of death, that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation." He has made reconciliation for the sins of the people. "For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted." Jesus Christ was made like unto his brethren. He was human. He was the Son of God, born of divine conception, but human. Sin came from a human, Adam. It had to be cleared by a human, Jesus Christ, who was made like unto his brethren. God's a just God. It had to be on legal grounds, and it was. "In tasting death," it says there in verse 9, Jesus Christ did it all for mankind. He was the complete substitute, the ransom, the atonement. And it was not the blood of bulls and goats. It was the blood of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he made reconciliation for the sins of the people. God made available redemption and salvation for all mankind by the perfect work of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at 1 Peter, because it talks a little bit about our Redeemer and our redemption on legal grounds. And we can stand against the adversary when he comes at us with condemning thoughts and devilish doubts that Dr. Werwell said, right? 1 Peter 1, verse 18 says, in verse 18, for as much as you know, well, we got to know it and then believe it, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. God says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at that. It was the precious blood of Christ which was shed for us. He was a lamb without blemish or spot. You know, there's no one in mankind that is without blemish or without spot, okay? It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And our redemption was not acquired by silver, gold, anything else of worldly value. That's what God says. And I want to go here to 1 Peter 2. Verse 24, it says, who his own self, Jesus Christ, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now in Isaiah, you can look at this up, 53:5 says that by his stripes we are healed. So Isaiah, looking forward to the cross and what Jesus Christ would accomplish, said that we are healed. Here, Peter says, we were healed. We were. Looking back, Peter said, we were healed. When they were beating him and scourging him, Jesus, in his physical body, was paying the price for physical wholeness for all mankind. When he allowed his body to be beaten and scourged, he was redeeming mankind from sickness and disease. He bore our sickness and our sins. He's our complete and final Passover lamb. There's no need for any other Passover sacrifices because he is the complete and final one. Now the Passover meal's been replaced with Holy Communion, which is a memorial of his death and perfect sacrifice. I want to look at this one before we go to 1 Corinthians. But Holy Communion was given by Jesus Christ at the Last Supper in Luke 22. I want to go to, with his apostles and disciples. It's a beautiful record if you work that part of the Last Supper, when he knew his betrayer and he knew what was going on. He gives us wonderful Holy Communion and the Last Supper that he shared with his disciples. Pretty important, before he's going to go and be crucified, he's going to share this. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. So I want to touch. So just as the Passover lamb for the children of Israel had two important parts. It was for the covering of their sins, the blood, the flesh for physical health. So the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for our sins, the atonement. The eating of the flesh is for physical health, which is symbolized in Holy Communion by the cup and the bread. The cup in Holy Communion represents the blood of Christ, and the bread represents the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll close with this record, which is written to us in our administration. So it is not done away with, okay? It says, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that night, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. And this is how, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. The Apostle Paul, by revelation from God, addressed the Corinthian believers that many were weak, sickly, and many sleep or died because they didn't discern the Lord's body. And the context is in of the memorial of the Holy Communion. The Corinthians were exhorted right here by Paul to continue celebrating the Lord's Supper. They were to continue to remember what he did. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, this do in remembrance of me. It's doing in remembrance of Christ. And he is our complete Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us. So anytime that we eat of that bread and drink of that cup, we can remember what Jesus Christ said. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. May we remember what he has accomplished for us as our Passover lamb, which said in 1 Corinthians 5:7. By doing so, we can have healing, physical health, that could be mental, spiritual, physical, everyone, and forgiveness of sins, because his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. By his stripes you were healed. And that's what I wanted to close with today. And I'll close in with prayer. Thank you, God, for the wonderful redemption and salvation that's available by Jesus Christ and for the Holy Communion, and that he is our Passover lamb. And what that represents, Father, we can stand against the adversary. We can claim our sonship rights and know the plan of redemption, Father. And we don't have to have any condemnation, and we can have that physical health, healing, and forgiveness of sins. And thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.